To Goleta's Community State of the City. I'm Valerie Cantella, and until last week, I was the Community Relations Manager and Public Information Officer for the City of Goleta. I have accepted a new position, but wanted to finish out my tenure by bringing you our State of the City. And on behalf of the council and staff, we are so pleased to have you here tonight. I know some of you had the opportunity to go to the ribbon cutting for the beautiful mural outside, and we're just so thankful and grateful to have this beautiful piece of art in Old Town Goleta. Thank you to Barbara Eberhardt and the students, and Joe Merritt and the Community Center for your hard work on this wonderful piece of art. So this evening, we'll have a presentation by the mayor, followed by an overview of the city's finances by City Manager Michelle Green, and we'll end by answering your questions. When you came in, you should have been given a blank card or found one on your seat. Please use this card to write down your questions. Our staff will be collecting these throughout the program, and we will answer questions in our last segment. But before I dive in, I'd like to introduce the Goleta City Council. We have Mayor Paula Perotti, Mayor Pro Tempore Kyle Richards, Councilmember Stuart Kasdan, and Councilmember James Kiriakou. I would also like to recognize several people and organizations who have made this event possible: the Goleta Valley Community Center, Scott Phillips from Synergy Computing, Tad Clark and his team from AMS Entertainment, Tony Ruggieri and his team for the video production, Viviana Marsano from Voices Translation and Interpreting Services, who is doing our Spanish interpreting tonight, and Nothing Bundt Cakes for the delicious treats. Now, please join me in welcoming Mayor Paula Perotti to the podium.
Thank you, Valerie, and thank you everyone for being here this evening. Okay, well, I have to start off by saying it's an honor and a privilege to stand here today as Goleta's mayor to tell you that the state of our city is strong, potent, powerful, and prosperous, and getting more so every day. This is not an accident. I give credit to the ambitious efforts and old-fashioned hard work of our staff, our numerous committees and commissions, and volunteers, and the determination of our activist residents to keep Goleta the good land. And thanks are due to our dedicated and talented council members for their passion, commitment, and devotion to Goleta's past, present, and future. I'm going to provide the highlights of the state of our city. And I will start by saying we are whelmed, not overwhelmed, but certainly with much work and many, many challenges ahead. To review great progress in many areas, let's start with public works. Public safety, sorry, Charlie, not you yet. We'll start with public safety. We welcome our new police chief, Lieutenant Thielst, and Sergeant Maxwell, the new head of Goleta's traffic unit. We're confident with their leadership, we'll continue to be one of the safest cities in California. When we think public safety, we should also think of roads, sidewalks, and bike lanes, things our public works has been busy with. The recently approved bicycle pedestrian plan for the entire city was expand and improve the walking and cycling network for the city, making it easier and making it safer and easier to walk and bike. The Hollister multi-purpose path near Elwood School was completed in 2018 and received the Project of the Year Award from the American Public Works Association. Cathedral Oaks, between Fairview and Los Caneros, is being repaved right now. The Fairview Sidewalk Infill Project by the Fairview Gardens and the Goleta Valley Library is underway. And there are many improvements completed or underway in Old Town. We are committed to updates and improvements that respect the residents' and businesses while avoiding gentrification. For example, Old Town Sidewalk Project will construct sidewalks on at least one side of all residential streets. The Complete Streets program will make Old Town Streets safer for all travel modes. We're also taking measures to improve access to parking there. We are determined to improve the quality of life for residents and visitors by making it more appealing to walk, cycle, drive, shop, and dine here. And we have other circulation improvements, not just in Old Town. Public Works has ambitious plans for a Hawk Signal at Hollister and Chapel near the hospital, Kyrie Allen Kingston. A mid-block pedestrian activated crosswalk is also planned on Kyrie Allen between Fairview and Kellogg to help get pedestrians across the street safely. We secured a $14 million active transportation grant for the San Jose Creek multi-use path. When completed, it will connect much of the existing bike and pedestrian routes between north and south of the Highway 101. We recently received a grant for $13 million to move forward in the development of a new multimodal train station at the existing Goleta Amtrak platform. This is expected to help hundreds of Ventura, Oxnard, Carpinteria commuters get here by train and should free up the roads. Planning and Environmental Review Department has been making real progress. We were recently certified as a green business by the Green Business Program of the Santa Barbara County, which goes along with our resolve to have 100% renewable energy for all city-owned facilities by 2030. Also, as a step toward realizing our 100% renewable energy goals, we are close to completing a strategic energy plan. This is in partnership with Santa Barbara County and other South Coast cities. We are actively working on a historical preservation ordinance that will preserve Goleta's historical resources. Our new zoning code should be completed this year and will align our zoning with our general plan. The Monarch Butterfly Habitat Management Plan has been approved. We are committed to protecting the Elwood Mesa and the Butterfly Preserve and ensure safe public access to the preserve, Elwood Mesa, the beach, and ocean. Over $3.9 million of state funding secured by State Senator Hannah Beth Jackson will help us make access safer and allow us to plant and nurture replacement trees there. That's really going to help us a lot. A cannabis ordinance is imminent that will tailor the growing, processing, and sales of cannabis to new state laws legalizing them. We need to balance the needs of this growing industry with protection of our residents, especially our youth. Goleta's new granny unit ordinance will tailor Goleta's needs to California new laws in this area. And last but certainly not least, we continue to work closely with State Lands Commission as it decommissions Platform Holly and Piers 421 and 422 to end oil drilling, extraction, and processing on Goleta's shores. Finance. I don't want to steal City Manager Michelle Green's thunder, except to say that our finances are strong with record high reserves that should get us through virtually any emergency or downturn. I do want to congratulate Michelle and her team for earning a Comprehensive Annual Financial Report Award and a Municipal Budget Award from the Government's Finance Officers Association. Thank you. Neighborhood services, recreation is filled with opportunities. The long-awaited Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park in Old Town held its opening celebration on March 30th. It is now open to our community with activities and facilities for residents of all ages and abilities. We are working on addressing needs at four parks, Berkeley, Andamar, Winchester 1 and 2, and we have plans to upgrade their play equipment. Our park's master plan will be brought back to the council by the end of this fiscal year. The first year of the Monarch Moves program launched at Evergreen Park for students to learn more about the monarch butterflies and highlight this jewel in our community. We purchased an all-electric parking enforcement vehicle and are using it to help respond to parking issues. And again, last but certainly not least, we took over management of the Goleta Library last July. This has allowed us to improve library services while lowering our overall library cost. And you may have heard that we had a ribbon cutting at the newly remodeled Jake Boysell Children's Room at the library. And we encourage all kids to take advantage of all that it has to offer. Public engagement. Work continues with our Public Engagement Commission. Council has already acted on the Commission's early recommendation to increase public participation. Starting this fall, all City Council meetings will take place in the evening so that residents will not have to choose between working and attending afternoon meetings. The City's first community lead Goleta Academy is underway with a class of 20 residents. The Academy's purpose is to help residents learn how Goleta works so they will become empowered to advocate for and discuss local issues. And we expect more academies in the future, including a program in Spanish. All these achievements and more are possible only because we did this together. Please join me in congratulating staff and volunteers, residents and businesses for this strong state of our city and for carrying on the tradition of Goleta as the good land. If you can give. Thank you. Now, along with all this great news, we recognize that many challenges and opportunities lie ahead. We know people are excited about the new Target, which is expected to open this fall where Kmart used to be at Stork and Hollister. And we're focusing on mitigating the new traffic that may be generated at this already busy intersection. Beach cleanup of oil relics is continuing, and we are determined to work with state lands to safeguard and improve public access to Goleta's beaches. UCSB's enrollment has grown to over 25,000 students, along with more faculty and staff. We are in conversations with UCSB, especially how to manage and mitigate the impacts of traffic, housing, and city services. Other environmental challenges always loom, such as monitoring and stopping hydrogen sulfide emissions and dealing with possible oil drilling and transportation. And longer term, we need to focus on addressing the growing impacts of climate change through actions such as providing more incentives for solar panels, battery storage, environmentally friendly materials, and energy conserving construction. And we are also very committed to promoting alternative to single occupancy motor vehicles every way we can. Memories of the recent drought are never far away. Though I'd like to take credit for the recent rains, I sure don't want the blame if the rain stops for another 8 years. And the groundwater that got us through the drought years is still depleted and may take 5 years of above normal rainfall to recharge. We are convinced that we must continue to conserve and even increase water conservation, such as by using more recycled water for landscaping. We continue to have a shortage of housing that people can afford. New state laws are helping propose that could require construction of many very low and low-income housing. Almost all of the 800 residential units recently constructed are affordable only to those people in the income well above the area median. So we will strive to follow state law without diminishing the special character of our community and neighborhoods. We are determined to face all these challenges head on. As you know, having exceptional personnel is key to accomplishing our goals. We are so fortunate to have Charles Ebling, Charlie, join our team as Director of Public Works. We're in the process of hiring a new Deputy City Manager and filling the position of Community Relations Manager. We have filled a number of other staff positions to bring us closer to full strength. In addition, newly elected council member James Carriaco has brought new ideas and experience with him. This new team positions us for a new and even brighter future. I'd like to take a moment right now to have our staff here today stand and be recognized. So staff, if you're here, please rise. Thank you. Okay, so where do we go from here? Now is the time for us to look forward and plan our city so that it looks like the Goleta we want. As someone once said, it's not enough to be up to date. You have to be up to tomorrow. We need a vision to address the opportunities and threats that loom in the near future for major forces such as climate change, changing demographics, and a changing retail environment brought on by the internet. As someone once said, change is inevitable, except from vending machines. Our vision must anticipate change. However successful we are in the now, to secure a brighter future, we need vision to guide our plans and action. As said in a Japanese proverb, vision without action is a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. So I want to take a moment to tell you four principles that I believe should guide both our vision and our action, not just to help keep Goleta the good land, but to move us forward to making Goleta a great land. First, some cities define themselves as manufacturing-oriented, or high-tech-oriented, or tourist-oriented. But I think our vision should start with being people-oriented. Every city has buildings, roads, parks, jobs, weather. The biggest variable is the people. Our skills, culture, ambitions, and how we interact. People, our most valuable asset, have a life expectancy of 80 years. How do we make the most of this asset? How do we make sure we attract the best people, make us most productive, and reduce people moving away so we don't suffer a constant brain drain? We must attract and keep people of different ages and backgrounds with our premier quality of life, great libraries and schools, diligent environmental protection, expanding recreational opportunities, good roads, solid police and fire services, and more. We must provide and nurture incubators for new startups, and we must do our best to increase affordability of housing and commercial space. Second, we must pursue and achieve public trust and participation to get the best ideas and commitment to our common goals. And we need to do this every day, not just through an annual State of the City like gathering like this one. Our city is committed to being user-friendly, where we define user as every Goleta resident, business, nonprofit, and visitor. We must continue to embrace public participation, open meetings, open processes, communication, such as we've been doing in our zoning code revision, with numerous workshops and hearings supported by detailed documentation and significant opportunities for public comment. Third, we must gain leverage through cooperation. Local government cannot and should not try to do it all and fund it all. Our vision must create and foster partnerships with nonprofits, service clubs, community groups, and business groups. Our vision must support our business community that provides goods and services in the free market. And in our vision, we must interact regionally with nearby cities, the county, state, feds, and UCSB, especially in the critical areas of roads and traffic, water, emergency planning and response, public safety, and social services. Finally, we need to achieve and assure sustainability. At the very least, this means that we need to protect our environment. But it also means that we need to live within our resources on this precious but fragile shelf between the mountains and the Pacific Ocean. As we plan for water, transportation, housing, energy, and all resources and services that are vital for a vibrant community, we must not upset the delicate balance that defines our community's special character and quality of life. Sustainability is not just a means to an end, but part of the end itself. Still, we are greatly challenged to construct a vision that our city that can anticipate and plan for the unknown future, a future sure to bring rapid technological and social changes. The solution may lie in something Abraham Lincoln is credited for saying, the best way to predict the future is to create it. So I say, now is the time for us to join together to create our own vision for what Goleta could be, Goleta, the great land. Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce our city manager, Michelle Green, who will share the city's financial outlook with you today.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Perotti. It's always wonderful to hear your vision, and thank you for your leadership. Good evening to everyone. I'm pleased to present the City of Goleta's financial outlook, and I'm happy to see so many of you here tonight. Several new people who weren't here last year, welcome. I hope you enjoy what we will be presenting tonight and get your questions in, because we really want to hear from you. We're approaching the start of a new 2-year budget cycle and are in the process of adjusting our forecast to meet the city's needs over the next 2 fiscal years. Ensuring that the city has the resources to meet its obligations is critical. To do this, we look at past revenues, trends, reserve funds, and other economic indicators to forecast the city's fiscal health. And today, the city's financial outlook remains positive. Over the past 17 years, our revenue base has increased steadily and has allowed the city to meet the needs of the community and establish a healthy reserve fund. As you'll see in the following slides, our revenues have remained strong, primarily due to healthy transient occupancy tax, or TOT, sales tax, and property tax receipts, which together make up 85% of the city's total revenues. TOT leads the top 3 at 37%, while sales tax and property tax come in at 23% and 25%, respectively. And in the following chart, you'll see in dollars what the top 3 generators contribute to the city's revenue stream. TOT revenues were $10.1 million for fiscal year 17-18 and are projected to be at $9.8 million by the end of the current fiscal year. Sales tax is expected to increase, going from $6.4 million last year to a projected $6.6 million by the end of this year. Despite this growth in sales tax, the city remains conservative in our outlook for future years and projects sales tax to maintain current levels with some minor fluctuations. We're still all seeing the impacts on traditional brick and mortar retailers with the closure of Kmart, Osh, and Pacific Sales, but are confident that the addition of new retailers like Home Goods and Dollar Tree and Target will keep sales tax forecasts on track. We're very fortunate not to be in the situation of many cities who, as our mayor said, the internet sales have really devastated sales tax. Property tax is expected to increase slightly this year, raising to about $6.5 million. This can be attributed in part to the increase in assessed valuations through recent sales transactions, but also additional housing inventory that we're seeing within city limits. It's critical for the city's fiscal stability that we maintain a balanced budget and a healthy contingency reserve, while also meeting the community's needs. The city's budget is, of course, structurally balanced, with projected expenditures this year at $32 million. In addition, the general fund is projected to close out the year with an unobligated fund balance of over $3.8 million. That's very healthy for a city our size. Furthermore, the city council's prudent reserve policies and careful planning have resulted in a healthy contingency reserve, which is expected to be over $8 million by the end of this fiscal year. And again, that's atypical for cities our size, and we are to be envied. In addition to stable revenue projections, a healthy reserve and fund balance, there are other indicators that reflect a healthy local economy for those who live and work in Goleta. The unemployment rate is currently at 2.3%. The Federal Reserve considers a base unemployment rate of 4% to 4.6% as full employment, so we're doing really well. And we're currently lower than most cities in the county. In the area of commercial real estate, Goleta currently has vacancy rates of 6.2% for office space, 2.1% for retail space, and 5.9% for industrial space. These have all decreased over the last year, but it's a good sign because low vacancy rates are considered favorable and reflect a high level of demand for businesses to locate in Goleta and become part of our economic engine. So, as you leave tonight, I hope you remember that the city's condition is optimistic. Our city council and staff are closely monitoring revenues, expenditures, critical economic indicators, and our financial forecast looks positive. We're working to increase our reserve funds so we have the resources that we need to deliver projects that have been long awaited and serve our community better. So we hope you'll engage with us as we continue to work for the benefit of Goleta. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Green, for that very informative presentation. I would now like to invite up several members of our management team, Mayor, as well as Mayor Paula Perotti. So Public Works Director Charlie Eberling, Vito Adamidas, Director of Neighborhood Services and Public Safety, Planning and Environmental Review Director Peter Imhoff, and our Library Director Allison Gray. So if you have questions and you haven't already written them on your cards, please go ahead and do that now, and Jamie will come around and pick those up. I'll be happy to answer them. Okay, we're going to start with this one on housing. So apparently the South Coast housing vacancy rate is 1% or less. Is that true for the city of Goleta, and is there a trend for that getting better or worse in the last few years? So Peter, I think that would be you.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Peter Imhoff, an environmental review director.
We might want to switch if that one is going to.
Let's see if this works better. Well, we'll see. So I don't have the specific stats on exactly what our vacancy rate is. I can't recite that off the top of my head, but it's certainly very low, both for rental housing and for owned housing. And there's no question that there's a housing crisis that is affecting not just the state as a whole, but the South Coast and the city of Goleta specifically. The city of Goleta, however, has been keeping pace with development, and I wish I had the numbers to cite to you, but over the last several years, There have been hundreds of new units that have been constructed and have received certificates of occupancy. There are more on the way. We have a number of large projects that many of which you're familiar with. For example, the Village at Los Carneros, the Hollister Village project, other projects that are providing real and needed housing. One of the ways that we measure our housing need is through a state process, the regional housing needs allocation process, that allocates to each jurisdiction within a given region, here the region being Santa Barbara County, the need that it is supposed to accommodate and provide for through its zoning rules. Our housing element was certified by the state of California, and we are on track in providing the total number of units. We have a total of 979 units of identified need for this 8-year period from 2013 to 2023, and we are well on the way to providing those units. The challenge for us continues to be providing affordable housing, so housing at the lowest tiers, low income, very low income, extremely low income housing that meets the needs of those in our community who are most challenged by way of affordability. So that's something that will continue to require more work. We are thinking now about ways in which we can address that going forward. One possibility that has recently become an option for us as a result of a law that was enacted in 2017, AB 1505, is the enactment of an inclusionary rental housing ordinance that would affect rental projects as well as owned projects. That's something that we'll be proposing to our city council as part of our annual work program for next year, and something that we see as a priority. In addition, we're considering other measures, incentive programs, for example, the development impact fee, beneficial projects, a discussion that we just had with council earlier this week that would provide incentives for developers of larger projects as well as for single-family homeowners to develop accessory dwelling units that would meet state affordability requirements. So those are just two examples of ways in which we're striving to address the affordability crisis. And I am sure that in the coming years, there will be much more to relate and much more to share on that front. One of the challenges, of course, is going to be how do we integrate additional housing into our community in a way that preserves the existing fabric of our community, that doesn't change our quality of life, that doesn't affect things like trip generation and traffic especially, and that overall keeps Goleta, allows it to retain its status as the good land. So those are just a brief overview of some of the challenges that we face.
Okay, Charlie, the next question is for you. When will Cathedral Oaks be repaired along the area between Glen Annie and Los Carneros, and also Hollister in front of the hideaways where the pavement is sinking?
As we look at our pavement in the city of Goleta, one of the things we want to do as we get started thinking about how we deliver pavement maintenance projects is our overall pavement maintenance plan, and that includes looking at all the roads, inspecting all the roads, coming up with a pavement condition index, and then keeping an eye on that index as we understand and approach prioritizing and repairing the roads over time. So with that one section from Los Carneros to Glen Annie Road, we're kind of looking at two things right now. One is, you might have all noticed there's a bit of a dip in the road. Right now, the way we're handling that dip is specifically looking at that and trying to understand what's happening. You may see in the next week or two, in fact, starting on Monday of next week, we'll have a drilling crew out there that will be drilling and doing some testing to see what's happening with the subgrade underneath the road. Eventually there'll be some sort of repair that's done there, but right now we want to make sure we collect all the information and really understand what's happening to the road. So we've watched the dip, we've been measuring the dip, but right now it seems very stable, but we do want to understand what's happening. In the long term, prioritizing that segment of Cathedral Oaks Road is going to be part of that pavement maintenance discussion that we have. And so we're going to have to look at all the roads and determine what is the most appropriate prioritization of each road in the city. So, and then the other road was
Hollister Avenue in front of the Hideaways.
And I'm not familiar with the Hideaways.
That's in
You'll
Western
have to forgive
Goleta.
Me. I'm still a little bit new with the city.
It's in Western Goleta near Elwood Mesa.
Okay. Well, and I think essentially the answer is the same. What we're going to do is have a pavement maintenance program that looks at all the roads in the city, and then we literally will assess the condition of the roads segment by segment, look at our pavement condition index for all those segments, and then come up with a prioritization plan. And part of that prioritization plan is looking at how we intend to fund the roads. And right now, we can see that there's a significant backlog of work in repairing the roads, doing the pavement maintenance, and we're going to want to identify that and start talking about how to fund those needs.
Great, thank you. This next question is for Vito, as the Economic Development Director reports under you. What leverage does the City of Goleta have to mitigate the long-term vacancies of commercial properties? For example, the former Denny's on Calle Real, which has been vacant for many years.
Like most cities, what the City of Goleta is trying to do when we have vacancies like that is to work with our community, our business community, and the folks in the real estate industry to find and facilitate the occupancy of those vacant units. As we heard earlier from our city manager, the retail industry particularly has been hit hard through internet sales. So many cities like Goleta are really trying to keep an active pulse on what's going on in our community, and also assisting people who come to the city who are trying to open up a business, who need assistance in that process, and just kind of holding their hand through that process to get them through the permitting and get them into the building that they're seeking to occupy.
You can keep standing because I have another one for you. I own a business in Old Town Goleta on Pine Avenue. Why are there 10 massage parlors? How do we know there is not human trafficking going on as well as prostitution? You may not know, Vito also oversees public safety, which is why he gets these two very diverse questions.
So thank you for that question. The city does have a licensing and permitting process for two actual parts of this, massage establishments and massage technicians. There are background checks that are required. They have to go through a permitting process that I review. And we also work very closely with our sheriff's office in responding to complaints regarding activities that may be unlawful. If you have a particular location that you would like us to investigate, we have the ability to follow up with you. You can contact me after this meeting today, or you can contact our community resource deputy, Dave Valadez, whose contact information is on the city's website.
Thank you. So this next question is about zoning. Why hasn't there been any discussion of the basic zone districts in the Planning Commission zoning ordinance workshops?
Thank you for that question. So the new zoning ordinance process has been going on for a while now. Most recently in January, we released a new draft of the zoning ordinance, and there have been a series of open houses and now a series of workshops before our Planning Commission. We're on, I think, coming up workshop 6, if I'm correct, on Monday. There'll be a second one on Thursday, and then our final one, so we'll have 7 workshops, will be a couple weeks after that. And following that, we'll be going to our council and with the Planning Commission seated together to share our progress and move forward. The focus in this draft of the new zoning ordinance has been really one, and through this process, has been to focus on the changes, what the delta is from the existing zoning ordinance. Fundamentally, the new zoning ordinance repackages and presents the zoning rules for the city in a way that's much more accessible, that's much easier to read, and that is, I think, much more functional than the old code that we inherited from the county upon incorporation. But when I stepped into my role in talking with our advanced planning staff, my emphasis was in really thinking hard about what changes we want to make and not not making changes to the zoning code that were without a really clear reason that we could articulate. So our approach through the workshops has been to focus on what has changed and why it has changed, and then to put that in front of the Planning Commission and ultimately the Council to think about whether that the changes and the options for particular issues make sense. For the most part, so what will happen with zone districts themselves, the zone districts will conform to the general plan land use designations that are already adopted as part of our general plan. Those are things that we're very happy to answer questions about. There are zoning maps and resources online at galitazoning.com where you can look and see how a particular property is zoned now and would be rezoned to match the general plan land use designation. But that isn't a fundamental change insofar as the use is already classified as such in our general plan. So I hope that answers the question, but I'm available and our advanced planning staff is always available to answer any more specific questions you have about particular properties and the process itself.
So I have another one for you, Peter, so you can keep standing. Can Goleta meet the California State Greenhouse Gas Reduction and Climate Change Green Energy Goals?
That's a great question. Previous to working here at the City of Goleta, I had the privilege to work at our regional agency, the Santa Barbara County Association of Governments, where I did work on the Sustainable Community Strategy and the Regional Transportation Plan that are instrumental in helping the region as a whole and all of its member jurisdictions to meet greenhouse gas emission targets. One of the keys to meeting greenhouse gas emission targets is the right mix of land uses locally so that on balance, we're reducing the amount of traffic and the amount of vehicle travel and therefore the amount of emissions. The city of Goleta, like other jurisdictions on the South Coast, is challenged by the so-called jobs housing balance. We're blessed in that we have a vibrant local business sector and a particularly booming high-tech sector that attracts a lot of workers and to really good high-paying jobs. The challenge is creating the right mix of housing and jobs together. So in order to meet our greenhouse gas emission targets, we're going to have to continue to keep pace and to provide housing and affordable housing at that matches the jobs in our community that attract workers here. Are we on track to do that? At this point, yes. As I recounted in the response to the first question, we are building more housing. We are on pace, and our present general plan does conform to the regional vision, but it will continue to be a challenge in the future. And it remains to be seen as the region grows how we do and how we meet that challenge.
Thank you. This next question is for Allison Gray, our Goleta Library Director. How has the Goleta Library changed since the City of Goleta has taken it over?
Wow, it's changed in many ways and all good. We've been able to have more control over the services that we provide and to have more control over the requests that our patrons have made for differences in those services. We've been able to respond by purchasing multiple copies of high demand items so that our patrons get their hold requests quicker than they've ever done before. We've been able to add many more programs for all ages, children, teens, and adults. We're doing more partnerships and programs. Today, for example, I was at the Isla Vista Elementary School for a couple of hours at their monthly food distribution event where we gave out free books and toys and information about the library to the families that were there. We're doing all kinds of partnerships. We're going out and speaking to all kinds of community groups, getting the word out there about all of the really fantastic array of services that we provide that people just don't know about. So we invite you to come to the library. We're adding services all the time. I guarantee you,
if you want it, we probably provide it. And if we don't, we'll get it for you. So we're very service driven. We're very customer service driven. And the city has really allowed us to respond to our patrons' needs in a way that we were never able to before. So we're very grateful to Michelle Green and the City Council for taking on the management of the library. The staff is much happier, and our patrons seem very much happier as well.
Thank you. So here's a tip. If you didn't know this, you can get tickets to local museums through the library. You can follow the library on Facebook at Goleta Valley Library. You can sign up for the newsletter. There is so much going on. You could do something every single day of the week there that was new and different. And Alice and her staff have done a great job in providing those services. So I would encourage you to check that out. So this next question, the person wants to know about the security of Old Town related to speeding vehicles, specifically on Nectarine and the safety of children, also on Mandarin. At night, it's dark with no sidewalk and I feel unsafe.
For the Public Works Department, I think one of the things I'm doing as your new Public Works Director is trying to take a look at all of our traffic management issues and kind of group them into understanding what all the requests are, what we need to do for traffic, taking a look at some of these issues like this that have been brought up. And I think a lot of times what I like to explain to the public is that there's sort of a step-by-step approach to dealing with any traffic issue like this, where we want to think about enforcement, we want to think about education. A lot of times the speeding and things like that, those types of issues are actually your neighbors. 95% of the time, the person speeding down the road is your neighbor. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we educate the neighbors, we want to make sure that we take this step-by-step approach. As we look at an issue like this, then we may down the road, no pun intended, think about how we might do other treatments to help with speeding. I think something like driver feedback signs, traffic calming devices, improvements to the setting of the roadway, such as sidewalk infill, all that contributes to drivers better understanding what the road is, what the setting of the road is, and what they should be doing on the road.
So I think we also want to get a comment from Public Safety with Vito.
Just to add to Director Ebeling's comments, so the city of Goleta has four motors officers. These are officers on motorcycles that have a number of activities related to traffic safety here in the city of Goleta. Public safety is a big priority for the city of Goleta. We're fortunate through the support of the council that we have four motors officers. And some of the things that they do is DUI checkpoints, right? You may have seen some of them throughout the year. Pedestrian crosswalk stings, speed enforcement around our schools, radar enforcement where people are speeding in areas where they shouldn't be. So if you have a specific request or a concern in your neighborhood or where you work, feel free to contact me and I'm happy to have our motors unit take a look.
Thank you. Here's another question about traffic safety. Roundabouts do not provide safe passage for pedestrians, seniors, and disabled. At what point will residents be able to comment on the 3 to 4 roundabouts planned for Goleta Old Town, where there's a large population who walk, use alternative transportation other than automobiles?
Well, for Goleta Old Town, we're looking at one really specific important project. It's kind of combined just right here out to the outside of the building to the right. We're looking at replacing the Hollister Avenue Bridge over San Jose Creek, and right next to that is a project that's called the Equifowler Roadway Extensions, and part of that roadway extension project is to install two roundabouts at the State Route 217 or War Memorial Drive ramp terminal intersections. So those roundabouts are being installed because in this particular instance, they're going to perform better than the traffic signals that are there today in terms of level of service for vehicles. All traffic control devices do have their pros and cons, advantages and disadvantages. Roundabouts can be a little less friendly to bicycles and pedestrians. On the other hand, they can perform very well for vehicular levels of service. So we try to balance that with any traffic control device, which a roundabout even is, when we install these things. And right now, that project is moving forward. One thing I like to emphasize is that we talk about the project delivery process. In the project delivery process, we start out with conceptual design, we go through an environmental review, finally we get into design, and then ultimately construction. That project is really in the advanced design stage. So a lot of the environmental reviews been, all the environmental reviews been completed. The conceptual design phase was done many years ago. And so we're zeroing in on the last actual design plans that will be used by the construction companies to build it. But each one of those steps, as we move forward, always should have public outreach. And we always do want to hear what the public has to say about the projects and how it might affect the design. And even ultimately in construction, we want to have public outreach so that we know, we can let everybody know what's happening, what the congestion might be as we go through construction, that kind of thing. So there will be opportunities for more public input as we go forward with that project. We'll be presenting it to the city council periodically, and finally, when we get ready for construction, of course, there'll be lots of opportunity for public outreach.
Thank you. So these next two questions are about homelessness, so I'll group them together. What is the city doing about homelessness? There have been many hazards, fires, trash, and what are we doing to address those items?
As many people know, homelessness is a issue that goes beyond the city of Goleta. So here in Goleta, we have a close relationship with our sheriff's office and respond to concerns and complaints related to homeless activities throughout the city almost on a daily basis. We're also coordinating with Caltrans, the area between the highway and the fence line of the railroad, where we've had some fires over the last few months, and so we're enhancing our coordination with Caltrans. And we're also working with the Union Pacific Railroad for the area along the railroad corridor to address not only the camps, but also the large amounts of debris that are starting to show up. So the UPRR, the Union Pacific Railroad, has had some significant budget cuts and loss of staff. And so the challenge before us is to find opportunities to continue working with UPRR to address these issues in a timely manner.
Thank you. The beautiful over 100-year-old tree on the corner of Orange Avenue, will the city cut down that beautiful historic tree to put in a sidewalk? Is it too late to save that tree?
No, it isn't. And that tree is not to be cut down with the current project. We will be looking at how the design works around that tree, and right now the sidewalk does kind of go around it. It will make for a bit of a challenging intersection. We'll have to watch how it performs with the traffic and make sure there aren't any safety issues that go with that. So we will be observing it, but right now the plans are to take the sidewalk around it.
You can stay standing because okay. The next one's for you as well. Will Equal Fowler be extended from South Patterson to South Fairview in our lifetime?
I'm not sure. No, I shouldn't say that. 20 years ago, when I was working with the county, I started working on that project, so I understand the premise of the question. As I mentioned in the previously, that project is in the advanced design stage. It is a fully funded project, so we should see that in the next 2 to 3 years start construction.
Thank you. This next question, how does honoring Johnny Wallace with an Old Town Park jibe as concentrating all psychotropic drug stores in Old Town? Not sure who's going to answer that one.
So the question really goes to, I think, the recent legalization of cannabis through Prop 64 and the city's response to that in legalizing cannabis here. As many of you are aware, the city is undergoing a process right now. We did adopt an ordinance that allows cannabis in June of last year that set forth a permit process and established certain rules, including buffer requirements for cannabis retail, which is in some ways the most visible or potentially impactful side of that. recognizing that that there were there was a concentration of applications under that ordinance, the city has taken a step back and is looking at ways to fine-tune that ordinance and to prevent a concentration in Old Town. So that process is underway right now. It will be going to the City Council on April 16th. We expect to have, I'm sure, a robust and vigorous discussion at the council, and there are a lot of considerations to bear in mind, and that staff report should be out very shortly. If it's not already out now, it should be out by the end of the week. I believe it is. Michelle Green is nodding that it is out. So I encourage you all to look at that carefully. The Planning Commission previously dealt with this and has taken, I think, public comment into account, and is, and we've conveyed those comments and the Planning Commission's recommendation onto the council for their deliberation.
So there's a part two on the cannabis question. So what controls for sale and use are planned, and are there any controls under consideration for residential areas?
So broadly speaking, there are a number of controls. There are two components to the way in which the cannabis would be regulated, one under the land use ordinance and secondarily under a business license ordinance. The two ordinances share the burden of how these businesses will be regulated, but the regulation is fairly robust. There are security plans, there are odor control plans, there are a variety of requirements that any given business will have to meet. And in addition to that, then through the land use portion of this, and as I described previously, that's presently under discussion now, there are various tools at our disposal to prevent over-concentration and to create buffers from sensitive uses. So one potential issue is the compatibility of different cannabis uses with residential areas, and it will be important for the City Council to grapple with that and to make sure that they're content that the buffer requirements to residential areas are met. There are, of course, other sensitive receptors that are of concern, beginning with this premises that we're on tonight, the Goleta Valley Community Center, also other schools and other similar facilities where that we want to protect for various reasons. So those are some of the tools that are available to us and that are under consideration now.
Thanks, Peter. So I have three last cards. If you have a burning question that you'd like us to answer from the podium, we'd be happy to do that. Get them in now. Otherwise, we'll be available afterwards and happy to answer them. Oh, I'm sorry, Vito. Would you like to speak on cannabis?
One of my favorite subjects. with regard to cannabis, I want to make it really clear, and I want to share with all of you that we work very closely with the Sheriff's Office, and the Sheriff's Office has a cannabis enforcement team that you may have been reading about, and they have been investigating and seizing lots of unlicensed and illegal cannabis product. So here in Goleta, because we care about our community and because we're concerned about public safety, I want to communicate to all of you that working with the Sheriff's Office, and they have a high priority in this area also, that we will be looking at and watching very closely illegal and unpermitted operations taking place, and those will not be tolerated here in Goleta.
Thank you. So this is a question for Mayor Perotti. What is your vision for the future of Bishop Branch?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I just wonder who asked that question. when I first started on the council in 2010, Bishop Ranch was a development was proposed and it came to council. And I remember I was brand new to the council and the whole room was full. I've never seen so many attend a meeting, and they were all opposed to anything happening on Bishop Ranch. So the future of Bishop Ranch, at least until, well, we have Measure G, which was passed by the voters in 2012. And it said for 30 years, I believe, we would have to go back to the voters. So if a project came to us and said, oh, this is a great project, and maybe the council thought, oh, this is a possibility, then we would send it back to the voters to decide, do you want this project or not? So ultimately, it's up to the voters of Goleta, the city of Goleta, to what they want to do with Bishop Ranch. Now, when that initiative runs out, maybe it'll be renewed, and I think it should be. But until then, I don't see anything changing at this time on Bishop Ranch.
Thank you. So the next question is, how can we get a pedestrian bicycle overpass over Highway 101 at Magnolia to CVS Motel 6 to Encina Lane?
Yeah, I just heard the comments that that's an interesting idea. I think fundamentally what we want to do is think about all of our capital projects. And so as a relatively new director for the department, I've taken a hard look at all the capital projects that are planned for the city of Goleta. There's many of them, almost 100 capital projects. In the years 1 to 5, from now until 5 years out, we are planning about $125 million worth of work. So we have a lot in front of us. So when we think about new projects like a new pedestrian overcrossing or anything else, we really want to put that into context of our overall workload and our priorities. So I think one of the things as your new director I want to do is that I'm going to be bringing our capital improvement program back on a periodic basis to the city council to let them weigh in on what is the priorities, what should be the projects, that kind of thing. So that'd be a very interesting project to bring forward to them and let them consider that and see if they want to include that in the capital improvement program and what its priority might be.
Thank you. And the last question is, if it will take 5 years to recover the water table, what's the plan if the drought continues? So the city of Goleta isn't actually the water agency that oversees water in Goleta, but I don't know if there's a staff member that wants to speak to that. If not, you may want to contact the Goleta Water District, and I think there is at least one director sitting in the audience. You may want to, not to put her on the spot. Well, we really want to thank you for being here tonight, for your interest. Give me just a second. For your interest in the city of Goleta and the community and for participating, we are always happy to answer your questions. And did you have one last question, sir?
Can we express some informational concerns to the group?
Well, we'd be happy to hear those afterwards individually, but to be cognizant of the time of everyone here, we would like to stick to the program. So we hope that you'll mark your calendar for the annual dam dinner on August 17th at Lake Los Carneros. Look for more information from the City of Goleta coming in June. And finally, the city has over 40 topics on which we send email and text notifications. So you can sign up for those on our website at cityofgoleta.org, or you can head to the back of the room and we'll sign you up tonight. Thank you again for taking the time to attend the State of the City. This evening's program will be rebroadcast in English and Spanish on Channel 19, posted on the city's website at www.cityofgoleta.org and on our YouTube channel. Thanks and have a great evening.